Political movements don't have to be shaped by politicians. In fact, one of the most dynamic movements to shape the way we see our streets started with a group of bicycle riders in San Francisco who simply wanted to be seen. It's a gathering that's come to be known as Critical Mass, and tomorrow night around 6 o'clock, hundreds, if not thousands, of cyclists from around the world will come together to take over the city streets to celebrate the event's 20th anniversary. It's going to be quite a scene. The mass has taken place on the last Friday of every month since September of 1992. It's a leaderless bike ride without a pre-planned route, lasting several hours. The concept is to have enough people riding on bikes, a critical mass, to force cars to stop and wait for them. It's controversial, somewhat chaotic, and sometimes confrontational, but it's also effective, and it's grown. Today, critical mass rides take place in more than 300 countries around the world. Urban bike riding has changed significantly in that time. Some would say critical mass helped the world spin a little differently. And that brings us to the topic of today's radical idea, one that's carried on for two decades.
And now for something completely different.
First of all, think outside the box.
I got the idea when I noticed the refrigerator was cold.
Good idea.
The guy who invented Pringles packaging thought outside the box and made a fortune.
That's a pretty good idea.
He had this crazy idea about breeding pine trees.
Isn't that beautiful? That can happen to anyone.
Chris Carlson co-founded Critical Mass. Now, he's an editor of the new book, Shift Happens, Critical Mass at 20. He joined the co-editor Lisa Ruth Elliott in studio with KALW's Ben Trefney to reflect on how Critical Mass got its start.
Well, there was about 4 dozen people who showed up to it, and it started in the fog of months and months of discussion and beer drinking and hanging out, and a lot of us who were cyclists, either as daily commuters or bike messengers or friends who just rode their bikes recreationally, or in some cases there were a few people trying also to resuscitate the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition from its then rather moribund state. I mean, it existed, but barely. And we were all in conversations at different times and places, but often in my office, which at that time was at 7th and Market in the Grant Building. And out of those conversations, there was a kind of an urge to establish ourselves, make some sort of a statement publicly about the fact that we felt like really mistreated as second-class citizens on the roads, that people would treat you derisively, they'd yell at you, they'd think you're like immature, you're a kid, grow up and get a car. So that was somehow an act of maturity. So we thought, let's meet at the foot of Market Street and just ride home together. Simple act. Get everybody together we can and fill the streets with bikes, and by doing so, displace the cars. And unbelievably, it worked.
So 4 dozen people was enough to displace the cars?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you really don't need even that many. You can do it with quite a few. But the more you have, the more displacement you have. And it's very interesting what happens in the space you've created, because it's a mobile, temporary autonomous zone, if you will. It's a place where things start to happen that are unexpected and unpredictable. And you're rolling down the streets, and this kind of weird and surprising euphoria hit us all on that very first ride. It was like, wow, this is so different. And we start to actually feel the city in its complexity in a different way than we had ever felt it before. We smelled it differently. We tasted it differently. We heard it differently, because we were in our own little zone there. And of course, you're looking around and everybody's very attractive. There's like a lot of libido going on, and it's a very beautiful experience.
So those rides were euphoric for you. They could be a bit of a headache for the car drivers who aren't within that same world at the time. How has that dynamic, how was that initially, Chris, and then how did that develop over time as people became more familiar with mass, or actually maybe didn't?
Motorists often take umbrage at our very appearance that we're even there. And if we don't, you know, there's this big drama about scofflaw cyclists and things like that, which of course is just laughable if you're a cyclist, because every cyclist rolls through stop signs if there's no traffic and pauses at red lights. Some of us go through, some don't. But there's nothing, no harm done, right? But people take great offense at these things because they're sitting in their cars really frustrated and urgently anxious. And so what?
Road rage.
There's road rage always just percolating there, simmering at all times. And so for us to be out on a cycle, having a good time, laughing, smiling, enjoying ourselves, even when we're alone, we might look, you know, relatively more content.
But with critical mass, there's a mass of bicyclists,
right,
whether it's 48 like the first time,
yeah,
or thousands like other times,
yeah,
and it's blocking traffic.
Yeah, and people are sitting there stewing and feeling frustrated. And I sympathize with that frustration. That's not fun to be stuck in traffic.
That's Chris Carlson. He's co-founder of Critical Mass and co-editor of the book of essays Shift Happens, Critical Mass at 20, which he worked on with Lisa Ruth Elliott, who's here today as well, and Adriana Camarena. Lisa Ruth, can you tell me about the evolution of Critical Mass as a movement internationally?
Yes, I think there's so much life to Critical Mass outside of San Francisco. It was in 300 cities as of the late 1990s, and it's in many, many more now. And we represent about 31 of those cities in the book, Shift Happens, Critical Mass at 20. You have Ciclofficina in Italy and Ciclofficine in France, and all over Europe and Central and South America, these bike workshops are an outgrowth or at least very connected to the people who are doing Critical Mass.
So does that mean that Critical Mass, the event on the last Friday of the month, doesn't resemble itself in different cities around the world? Each different place has taken on its own identity?
I think it resembles itself in the sense that it's a mass bicycle ride. But I think that the way that people in Sao Paulo, Brazil, are striping their own bike lanes, in Helsinki, Finland, in the wintertime, they do snowplow Critical Mass bike rides because nobody cares about keeping the snow and ice off of the bicycle lanes. They do for the car lanes. So they go out with their shovels and they take it, and that becomes the focus of their ride. So in a sense, there's a lot of activism that surrounds it that you don't see everywhere, but it takes on its own flavor wherever it pops up.
Where is the biggest one now?
Oh, well, the biggest one is definitely in Budapest. They do it twice a year. They kind of go through official channels on Earth Day and then also on Car Free Day, which we just had on Saturday, actually, September 22nd.
Yeah, I'm not actually sure. I'm a bicyclist, and I'm not sure I've actually heard of that day.
Exactly. It's such a big celebration day all over the world, and we don't know anything about it here. In Budapest, you can see up to 80,000 cyclists in a Critical Mass ride, and it's impressive. People riding, taking one entire side of a bridge or in a park, just bicycles as far as you can see. And you can't really imagine. It's kind of this fantasy world of seeing that many people on bikes. And we're not talking about radical people either, necessarily. These are people who use their bike daily. These are families. These are people of all ages. These are mainstream cyclists. These are, you know, first-time cyclists. These are people who are just maybe testing it out. But it's 80,000 people.
That's Lisa Ruth Elliott, who co-edited the book of essays Shift Happens, Critical Mass at 20, with Critical Mass co-founder Chris Carlson and Adriana Camarena. What is the most beautiful thing that you've ever seen, one experience or incident, during your years of riding in the Critical Mass?
Well, you know, I have been riding since the beginning, and I've ridden in a number of other cities as well, so I've had the very good fortune of having countless great experiences. So, and I've had many of those kinds of experiences in San Francisco. One of the best ones was the 1999 summer ride. That was one of those beautiful summer evenings that we had here where there was no fog and the sun was setting in the Golden Gate, like literally the sun going right down through the bridge. And we were out we ended up out at the Wave Organ at the very end of the
that must have been quite a scene because it's a pretty narrow passageway.
Yeah, and we had it completely clogged with bicycles. I mean, there was like hundreds of bikes out there. And then there was this tall ship for some reason in the bay. So just the silhouette of that against the sun setting and the Golden Gate and everything was one of those iconic moments.
So on the flip side, what's one of the most disturbing things you've seen in the mass?
The worst thing ever is actually a video clip you can see from Porto Alegre, where a vice president of a bank in Porto Alegre in Brazil in February 2011 decided, I'm not waiting. And he just put his foot to the gas and went right through 110 bikes at full speed. And bikes are just like, it's like parting of the waves off the front hood of the guy's car and everybody's screaming and the sounds of bones and bikes crunching. It's just horrifying. And that's by far the worst incident that's ever happened in Critical Mass. And luckily, nobody died. And in fact, all the injuries were healed.
Did that person go to prison or is that still in trial?
It's Brazil.
There's still no outcome.
Well, he's been actually fined. Did not do time.
And sometimes in Critical Masses, I mean, I've seen myself, there have been aggressive bicyclists. Sometimes cyclists can become aggressive during the mass when they feel empowered, perhaps, and taking over space.
Well, in the very earliest days, we identified the problem as being the testosterone brigade. The aggressive behavior is more like riding into oncoming traffic just to sort of taunt them or, you know, just kind of pushing the boundaries to feel like you're the tough guy that's being more edgy. And it's kind of childish, frankly, and we are always trying to encourage people to say, well, you know, really, it's way more subversive and actually long-term more politically effective to be invitational and celebratory and say, we're having a great time. Join us. And we really genuinely believe in that. That's what most of us have been really trying to do with Critical Mass for all these years. So when somebody comes in and tries to like create a fake class war between cars and bikes, it's just an embarrassment to us. And we try to convince them to stop.
So what do you expect for the 20th anniversary celebration of Critical Mass Friday evening?
Well, if it's left up to the cyclists alone, it'll just be a beautiful evening with, you know, really thousands of cyclists rolling through the streets. It'll probably fragment because it'll be such a large ride and end up moving in multiple smaller rides, which are still hundreds and thousands of people.
There's a lot of people I've talked to who said, yeah, this might be the good time to do my first Critical Mass.
Yeah.
So people are looking for a time to celebrate an anniversary. People are not looking for anything else than that.
But I think everybody's coming out for this one, so it's going to be quite large.